Musing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I am currently, as you are listening to this, aboard the Disney Destiny, a brand new Disney cruise line ship. Wah, wah. That was me, like, making... Oh, actually, it doesn't really make that noise. It goes, wah, 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 wah. I hope your speakers are not turned up too loud, because that's got to be so annoying. I apologize. I won't do it again. I really want to do it again. I won't do it. I will spare you. But I'm aboard the new ship, and I am running in circles getting it all done. So I'm basically, this week, sending you a glorious little postcard from abroad, because my dear friend Brandon, one of my favorite people in the entire universe, is on the podcast to talk about Tokyo Disney Resort. And this isn't just like a regular, like, oh, a friend went there, I should probably have them on the show. No, no, my friend. I've had a lot of friends go to Tokyo, and there's not always like a podcast to do about it, but Brandon truly had a singular experience. Came back with some really, really, really useful opinions about things that a lot of people will tell you to do, which Brandon says you shouldn't, and I agree with. That's the type of hot take that I love to have here on Very Amusing. But also Brandon went alone and had the goofiest experience in the parks. I can't wait to share it with you, so much so that I won't even keep you any longer, because we gonna be gabbing. I don't even want to waste any time. Stick around for a few words from Becky, and then we get to hang out together with Brandon and talk about Japan. All right, I'll see you guys when I'm back on solid land. Ooh, wah, 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 wah. Okay, I got one in. I'm sorry, I lied to you. Okay, bye. Becky!
Carly!
We are together, everyone. We are together aboard the Disney Destiny. We are using these newfangled mics that I purchased for this moment, basically.
This is
because
awesome.
We had that mic fail the other time
we
at Disneyland.
We did.
You're so sweet to say we. Becky's joining in on the failure. It was all me.
We are in this together, girl. We are always in this together. This is how this works. You and I holding hands and trying to make mics work.
We're like the end of Rogue One, you and I.
Precisely.
But in a much happier setting, because we are talking about saving money on a future vacation.
Saving money and on what is supposed to be or going to be an amazing vacation as we sit in the location we're in.
Yeah. I mean, y'all are going to hear about it when you hear this, but it's dope. It is a good show.
Yep. Oh, wow.
But you have some money-saving stuff for us, don't you?
We always do, don't
we? I love it. You truly float in. Yeah. You float in and you're like, want to save money on a trip? I got you. I'll do the work. I'll go on go.com. I don't mind.
And the hard part is there's so many right now. And I have to warn you, it's going to get even better, because this little known thing called Black Friday is right around the corner. And suppliers right now are already starting to leak what to look forward to. So I have a little bit of that for you in a second, too. First of all, let's start with the new one that just came out, which is a Disney Plus subscribers. If you're enrolled in their Disney Plus perks, now it is different. You have to actually enroll in the perks program, but you can get a special 3-day, 3-park ticket to select theme parks for starting at $109 per day.
Ooh!
Which, that's a big deal, of
that's
course.
A big,
so
oh, that's a big deal.
If you're a Disney Plus subscriber and you get into Disney Perks, and of course, they don't just do tickets there. Disney Perks allows for all kinds of discounts. So if you're not subscribed yet, do so, because that'll give you one. There are a couple of opportunities, too, with that same package. It's the dates are January 12th to May 22nd that you can actually use those. But you can also upgrade to their stay and play package, which also gets you an additional discount. So perks there for you.
Heck yeah.
That's number one. Number two, we still have Walt Disney World up on the save, up to $250 per night on a 4-night, 4-day room and ticket package. $250 per night.
That's a lot of money. That's cold hard cash.
Exactly. And it is still available right now. And that's going to be available for most stays February 22nd all the way to July 25th. So,
We're out here saving money in summer.
You're saving money in summer. And this is unusual. We don't usually see the summer come out until January and sometimes February. So for it to be available now, you can get ahead of it and get the hotel that you want.
Summer vacation is holiday gift. Bing, bing, boom, you're done.
Exactly. So that's one of those things. Holiday gifts, you get it for your family, of course, but you get to go too. So it's actually a gift for yourself.
Thank you so much, Becky. We have so much more in store in the next break. So everybody, stick around. This week, we are talking to my dear friend Brandon all about his recent visit to Tokyo Disney Resort. And this is doubly exciting. I don't think that's a word. Dually? It's dually. That just sounds like I'm saying Duolingo. It's exciting for multiple reasons. Let's just put it that way. Because not only is Brandon one of, if not the most incredible humans I've ever met, but Brandon is going to give you the tea about Tokyo Disney Resort. Now, we have been friends for years, ever since, of course, naturally, Brandon introduced himself to me as I was leaving a Trolls character meet and greet at Universal Studios Hollywood. You know how all lifelong friendships are made. Truly, we're like family now. I adore him. But Brandon is also low-key a full-blown theme park expert. You may recognize Nene, which is what he goes by. He goes by both names. I know him as Brandon, but Nene is also Brandon. You may recognize Nene from his appearances on Alicia Stella's Park Stop podcast. There's even like a special series as part of the podcast that's co-hosted by Brandon. And if you haven't listened to it, like if you haven't listened to the Park Stop podcast with Alicia Stella, first of all, you gotta do that after this. But also listen to the episodes with Nene. They're so good. But he's basically like a theme park pop culture enthusiast by day and a glittering, glimmering drag queen by night. You may know him just from like truly being online and just making your feed a better place to be. You may have read about his perfect themed home in AJ Wolf's book, Disney Adults. Brandon is just the best. But the reason Brandon is on the pod is because when he got back from his solo trip to Tokyo Disney recently, oh yeah, he's been a few times, we're gonna hear all about it. But after the solo trip, he truly started dropping knowledge on Instagram stories. And I was like, we need to blast this out to the masses. Brandon is not going to serve you any lies about Tokyo Disney Resort. And if you've listened to our very amusing coverage of Tokyo Disney, you know that I'm from that same brain. I'm giving you the honest advice. And for a place that is wonderful, but is also extremely hyped up, I think there's nothing better to cut through the noise than to talk to someone right after their trip and get that real authentic advice, which he is going to tell you in depth today. Let's just say after you listen to this podcast episode, you will never look at vacation packages the same way. Real quick, just before we get started, I want to mention a few things in case you haven't been to Tokyo Disney Resort before. Tokyo Disney Resort is a theme park resort with two different theme parks, Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo Disney Sea. There is a monorail that connects a bunch of hotels, both parks, and their version of Downtown Disney or Disney Springs, which is a mall called Ikspiari. We mentioned all these things in the episode. I just want to make sure you are briefed. And Hotel MiraCosta, which we will mention in this episode, is connected to Tokyo Disney Sea and that monorail. That's all I'm gonna say. I hope you enjoy. This chat is, I mean, it's as helpful to your future planning and dream planning, just thinking about going to the resort, as it is for having a stomachache from giggling so much. I adore Brandon. I can't wait for you to either know more about him from this episode or hear about him for the very first time. And enjoy! I mean, truly, what a gift to gab about Tokyo Disney Resort. Oh, the best. Let's do it. Nene, welcome to Very Amusing.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to be here too, because like the podcast is my job, but talking to you is not work ever. There's no way this could ever feel like work.
It's truly the best. It doesn't even feel like we're working right now.
Well, we're not, because we're just getting to gab about Japan. As you know, I summoned you on the podcast because the stuff you were posting from your trip was just too good. It was everyone needed to know about it. Everyone needed to hear your opinions. But just to start from the beginning, to catch everyone up, tell me about the general schedule and itinerary of your most recent Tokyo trip.
Yeah, totally. So I went to Japan. This was my second time going. And my first time going to Japan, I really feel like I focused on seeing Japan. Like that was my biggest priority. And so now that I've done that, I really wanted to go back this time and really focus on Disney or focus on really themed entertainment in general. I feel like my knowledge on how the parks work there were so weak. And of course, since the last time I went, things have changed so much, as you know as well, with just how they operate their attractions and how their priority passes work. So I had been wanting to do a vacation package for quite some time, but I was really on the fence about it. I did so much research. I watched so many videos, and every single video, I mean, it almost seemed like people loved it so much. But when I went to like dissect what they loved about it, I was always just like, oh, you know, like, does this is there a lot of value in this for me? Because every traveler is different, right? So this past trip, I split up my itinerary in Japan. I did half of my time at Disney via vacation package, and then I spent a lot of time in the city, and then I came back to Disney and did it as a, in air quotes, as a, just like a regular guest, if that makes sense. And I really wanted to just compare both experiences.
Why do I want
to
say civilian?
What the difference was. No, I was going to say peasant.
Civilian, yeah. Listen,
I was going to say peasant.
We've all been both of them at sometimes, you know? You know, sometimes
for
you're at
sure.
a resort loop hotel. Sometimes you are far, far away in deep Orlando. You never know.
So I got to do both experiences, and I have just so much research. And so it's amazing. It's truly incredible.
The main reason you're here is because I need you to sound off about vacation packages. But before we get into that, can you tell me where you stayed when you weren't staying as part of the vacation package? Like what other hotel or hotels you stayed at besides that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I stayed at two other hotels within the Disney Loop. So they are a part of their like Disney neighborhood hotels, and they are on the monorail loop, connected to the monorail station that is, oh my gosh, I think it's Bayside Station is the exact monorail stop. One of them was Hotel Okura, which is where I stayed the longest. I think I was there for five nights. Yeah, five nights. And that hotel was an incredible experience, and it's right next to the Toy Story Hotel, the brand new Toy Story Hotel. They're almost connected, and it's right across the street from the monorail station, which was so convenient. The other one was Maihama Tokyo Bay Hotel, if I'm not pronouncing that incorrectly. And that one was still on the same monorail loop, but I want to say a 10-minute walk to get to the monorail station. So not too bad, but I was only there for one night. I flew in a day early before my vacation package started, and I just needed a one-night stay at a hotel before I stayed at my Disney hotel. So I did that.
I would love for you to talk about why you did that. Because there's so much stuff about vacation packages that people just don't, because you hear like, oh, it's the best. You can just go on everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, girl, there is a lot in there that you don't know about.
There's a lot of prep. So basically, when you go to pick up your vacation package, it is a lengthy process. I don't want to say, I don't want to exaggerate and compare it to purchasing a car, but basically you have to basically have a meeting. I don't know how I would explain it. You have to meet with a cast member. You have to go over your entire itinerary. Everything there is a little barbaric still in the fact that like they print every single fast pass on paper, every single dining reservation on paper, and they have to review everything with you. So you basically have to show up, and it's about like a 30-minute process, I would say. You do not want to do it on day one of your vacation package because you want to maximize the most amount of time in the parks, and you cannot afford to like be in the hotel trying to wait in line and figure out your vacation package on the morning that you're trying to enter the park. So they let you come in the day before your vacation package starts at 3 p.m. You do not have to do this, but I really wanted to do this. You can go to your Disney hotel the day before after 3 p.m., and get all the paperwork. It's not paperwork. You don't have to sign anything, but get all that stuff out of the way in advance. And then the next day, you will have everything. You'll have your happy entries or whatever you need, and you can just immediately start in the park. So that's why I flew in a day early. And the day before was really nice and easy. I checked into my hotel. I took a nice walk over to MiraCosta, which we'll get into in a little bit. But yeah, and I did all the nitty-gritty stuff before my actual vacation package started the next day.
And how many nights of a vacation package did you book?
So I booked the longest one that you could, which it was 2 nights, 3 days.
So, okay, it is day one of your vacation package. You wake up at your non-Disney hotel. What are we doing that day?
So the bummer is that on day one of your vacation package, you do not get happy entry. So happy entry, for those of you who don't know, it is Japan's early entry system, which at first you don't think it would be that beneficial because it's only 15 minutes. But when you are literally fighting for your life, trying to get priority passes, it is extremely beneficial. Now, I didn't need to be there for early in the park because I already had my fast passes booked for the day, which we'll get into that when we get into all the perks of the vacation package. So you don't need to rope drop, which is why they don't give you happy entry on your day one. But I don't know. I was like, I'm already here. I'm already awake because of my jet lag. Like, I just want to be in the chaos and in the madness. So I went to Disneyland Park and I just waited with the regular guests and then got in when I got in because you don't get happy entry. And that was that. And I started my first day there.
Amazing. Let's talk about the vacation package. And yes. I would love if you could tell us what it includes and your honest opinion about it, because I know sure. you've got some thoughts.
Yeah, totally. So I'll go in through one by one of what is actually included in the vacation package and where I would rank it as far as how much value it held to me. Now, that is, this is all, of course, my personal opinion. I have so many friends who've done the vacation package who think a lot of these things are way more valuable than what I thought they were. But we'll just sort of go down the line. So first thing to know about a Tokyo Disney vacation package, which I think is a huge misconception, is the way that a vacation package is treated in Japan is very different than the way a vacation package would be treated in the States. This is the number one thing to fully grasp and understand when you're traveling there. So in the States, when you book a vacation package, it's almost offered like a bundle, meaning you buy your hotel and then Disney says, hey, do you want to like add park tickets and add maybe a dining package and add this and this and this? And we'll add it as a bundle and we'll give you a little bit better of a rate so you can get things at, you know, a little bit of a discount, but you can get as many things as you want within that service or product. It's almost advertised in that way. Whereas in Japan, it's almost like if you were to get everything a la carte, it would be cheaper. But why people do the vacation package is because they gatekeep a couple of perks that are only available to vacation package customers that significantly change your experience. And they do that to upcharge you. So you're not getting a discount by bundling in Japan. What they're doing is they're actually upcharging you. A vacation package is a premium product. And when you are a vacation package member there, you are treated like their highest paying customer because you are. So there's just a little bit of a different vibe when it comes to the States and Japan. So that's just one thing for you to know.
No, it's fascinating. I have not stopped thinking about that since you originally said it to me. Because every time I see like, oh, book your flight and hotel together, I'm like, that in America, yeah, that's how you save money. It's like beneficial to you. And I completely forgot how overseas it's more of like, I mean, almost, it's a little different, but almost like a Club 33 flex.
It 100% is a Club 33 flex. Like they give you all these like lanyards and all these things that I'm like, none of that is going to match any of my outfits. I'm not wearing any of that. And they were like so shocked by that. Like they're literally giving me all these like vacation package things. I'm like, I'm not wearing any of that, honey. Let's just like stow that away or you can
yes,
even keep it.
I always do that stuff as like a free tote bag that you get with purchase. I never thought like, oh, right, this is something right. that this is like something to be right. coveted and to like show off, which I never thought about.
Yeah, so we're going to get into the pricing of everything in just a second, but just to give you like a little bit of an idea, I really did the math, and if I were to buy the things that I found value in a la carte by themselves, I would have saved about $1,000. So that's just me on my end, but of course everyone is going to find different things valuable. So let's get into it. So the first thing, obviously, with your vacation package is your hotel stay. So my vacation package, I had 2 nights, 3 days at Hotel MiraCosta with a Venice side Palazzo Canal view. Oh my God, I just dropped my water bottle. I got so excited. This isn't their most premium room offer, but it's definitely not their worst. It's kind of somewhere in the middle. And
listen, Brandon, I had a vacation package for Capitano Mickey, so I would say that it's definitely not their worst. I came to the hotel with the most beautiful views, but I booked it a little too late, and that's all they had. So Venice View, not so bad.
Yeah. So, and then as far as booking things late, I did book this room about a month and a half before my trip, and I was able to get what I wanted. This is the room type that I wanted, and this room was incredible. It was amazing. This hotel is incredible and amazing. I mean, I have not a single complaint, to be completely honest. It was fabulous. It was absolutely fabulous. So the room
service
is obviously included in your vacation package.
You know, like
it's insane.
In Tokyo already, the service is incredible, which we talked about on the podcast in years past. But something about MiraCosta, they walk you to your room. Did they walk you to your room?
Oh yes. So yes, it's such a great thing. It's so special. Yeah. So when you check into Hotel MiraCosta, they have to escort you to your room. They have to do it. So basically when you check in, you have to hold off to the side. And they call your name. You hang out in the lobby, they call your name, and then someone comes, walks you to the room, and goes over all of the room amenities with you, where everything is, where the nearest elevator is, how to get around, and it truly made such a difference. It just makes the experience feel so luxurious and fabulous. I loved it.
Oh.
Loved it. So, moving on from the room, also what's included in your vacation package is 3 park tickets. Now, they have multiple vacation packages. I got the longest one. And what I mean by the longest one is they have a 3-day, 2-night vacation package that only comes with 2 park days. I got the 3-day, 2-night vacation package that comes with 3 days. And I think it's called the, like, one extra day sort of like vacation package. So it comes with 3 theme park tickets. Mine came with 1 ticket to Disneyland and 2 tickets to DisneySea.
Part of this.
Not park hoppers.
Okay.
Not park hoppers. And, you know, theme park tickets are very cheap there. So when you worked out the a la carte, when you looked at the a la carte pricing, yeah. It's like, well, it did come with 3 days of park tickets. It doesn't even leave a dent in your total price of the vacation package. It's like, okay, cool. That's like $150 for 3 days.
Yeah. That's a character deal for 2 in America.
Exactly. Now let's get into dining. So regardless of what kind of vacation package you get, you get 2 sit-down breakfasts on your wake-up days. I call them wake-up days, meaning not the day that you check in, but the 2 days that you wake up in your hotel room. So you're the last 2 days of your vacation package, you go downstairs, and it's a Japanese buffet at a restaurant called Oceano if you stay at MiraCosta. And it was nice. It was super nice. That was great.
Did you feel like you were able to enjoy the breakfast because you had the package and had... like you had reservations for rides, you were ready to go? Or did you feel like, I can't eat the breakfast, I still have park brain, I have to go in?
No, I purposely, because of that exact reason, I booked my reservations for Oceano at a stupid time, which was 6:35 a.m. So it forced me to not have that FOMO. Like, I don't like being on a Disney vacation and especially in the morning when it's like prime time to get on attractions, for me to do sit down dining and I can see everyone outside the window like running to all the attractions and I'm like stuck eating like food. I'm like, who needs food? I need to go.
Who needs scrambled eggs? It's a 15-minute wait for Space Mountain.
So I purposely booked my my breakfast at a very early time so that I could sit down and enjoy it and be forced to enjoy it because the park wasn't even going to open for a couple hours. So I honestly had about like an hour and a half to just sit down and enjoy food. And even then I got to like go downstairs and get in line for happy entry. And I was like the third or fourth person in line. So So like by the time you even like enjoy breakfast and you go downstairs, if you book your breakfast for 6:35, 6:40, you will be able to take your time with breakfast and leisurely go downstairs to get in line for happy entry, and you will still be the third person in line. So I really recommend just getting up early and just getting that out of the way.
Wow. It's so funny that like, even though it's so different, it's the same mentality as Disney World. It's like, get up.
Yeah.
Get
honestly,
out.
especially in Japan more than Disney World, honestly, because of the fact that you can't pre-book your fast passes when you're not doing a vacation package, which is what we'll get into next. So fast passes. So do you remember when I was telling you that they have this offering that is only available to vacation package members? Okay.
Yes.
And this offering is being able to book fast passes in advance. There is no other way for you to book fast passes in advance at Tokyo Disney. You can only do it via vacation package. If you do not get a vacation package, you have to fight for your life, which I know you did this recent trip with Ben, and it sounded so stressful and your phone wasn't working and you were like freaking out and you were like, okay, we're going to continue walking. Like we can't stop to figure out the fast passes. We got to keep walking to Journey to the center of the earth and just hope that like my reception works. And it is honestly the most stressful situation. It is the most stressful experience. And I know that firsthand because I did it later on in the trip when I didn't have vacation package, that this service alone is like, oof, okay, this is why people get vacation packages, because I had all of my attractions booked a month in advance. Like everything was completely done. I knew that day I was getting on every Fantasy Springs attraction when I was going to DisneySea. Like I had my time set up and I booked them back to back so that there wouldn't be, I could just knock all 3 of them out at the exact same time and I could just be done with that land. So I guess like, yes, it relieves a lot of stress, but how the fast passes work is on your day 1 at Disneyland, you only get 2 attractions and you get 1 meet and greet. Now, I want to be very clear. They basically say you get three priority passes, but really you only get two because one of them is only a meet and greet. You can choose to meet either Mickey or Minnie in their Toontown, and then the other two are for attractions. And then the other days, your DisneySea days, you get five fast passes for your 2 days at DisneySea, meaning two on one day, three on the other.
That's not that many.
It's not that many, but there aren't that many attractions, to be honest. So, I mean, it was... It kind of worked out. It was fine.
Yeah, I guess you can kind of make everything else work. Because as long as you get those Fantasy Springs ones locked and loaded, and maybe a Soarin' if you really want it, then...
So exactly what you said. Yeah. On how I prioritize my fast passes for DisneySea is I did this. I said, listen, on day one of my vacation package at DisneySea, I want to use all three of mine for Fantasy Springs, and I want to get that done with. Okay, so all three of mine went to Fantasy Springs. On day two... I didn't use any of them for Fantasy Springs. I basically said, okay, I'm going to do Soarin' and I'm going to do Tower of Terror. Those are the only ones because, by the way, Journey to the Center of the Earth was closed for me, but I would have definitely used it on that.
Stop.
It was closed. But yeah, so, and then also, I'm crazy, and I know you're crazy too. You can also purchase passes as well, or priority passes as well. And even though I did have the vacation package, I also wanted to purchase additional priority passes. Because I went on Frozen and I loved it so much. I was so impressed by it that I just kept buying extras.
I completely get it. And also, we're so conditioned now to pay for a Lightning Lane that I feel like it is a smidge cheaper there. And I feel like it's not as burdensome to be like, oh, I have to buy something to go on it. It's actually like something we're now weirdly trained for. Quick question, because I actually don't know off the top of my head. With your Happy 15, with your like 15-minute entry prior to regular day guests, once you entered the park, were you able to book those priority passes or did you have to wait until official park opening? Oh, so you even got an advantage for booking.
Well, that's the only advantage for Happy 15 because nobody can walk to any of those attractions in 15 minutes. So you thinking that you are going to really have a huge leg up as far as crowds go, the Japanese mama, they run. They run. So that 15 minutes for me, for my slow legs, it was not doing anything. Like they were outrunning me. They were getting to the rides before I was. So really the only main advantage of Happy 15 is being able to book those priority passes before the general public. And remember, Happy 15 is not a vacation package perk. They say that it is. They make it seem like it is. It is not. Mm-hmm. It is a Disney resort perk. Okay. So if you were to just buy a hotel room a la carte, you are getting that Happy 15. So I was fighting for, you know, priority passes with a bunch of regular schmegular people who didn't pay as much as I did for vacation package.
Yeah, but we're staying in the same hotel, so they have the same perk.
Exactly.
Talk to me more about like the little freebies.
Yeah, the little freebies. It's one big freebie that I think people will find a lot of value in. I didn't find a lot of value in, but it is the free beverages for all 3 days. You get free unlimited beverages, and I mean specialty beverages. So yes, like soft drinks and sodas, but also any specialty beverage that isn't alcohol, meaning all the fun boba drinks and all the jelly drinks and all the drinks with all the crazy whipped cream and the sprinkles and stuff on them, which Japan has a lot of. Every specialty drink is included in your stay. And then you get one free box of popcorn. You get one free souvenir popcorn bucket, which if, by the way, this is just a little tidbit. Every cart has a different popcorn flavor and has a different popcorn bucket assigned to that cart. If you want to get a popcorn flavor from this cart, but you want to get your bucket from a separate cart, you just let them know and they write you a little voucher and you don't have to get them at the exact same time because on your vacation package, I believe it's the same voucher. It's like one free popcorn box with popcorn bucket. And if you want to get them separately, you can.
Oh, but you get like one of the actual popcorn buckets, not a vacation package specific popcorn bucket.
No, you get an actual popcorn bucket. If you want to get the vacation package one, you can. It's exclusive and only available to vacation package guests. But I was like, I'm getting one of the other ones.
Yeah. Wait, which one did you end up choosing?
I chose the one that packs well. The one that it's the one with all the balloons on it. I didn't want to get a hard shell plastic one. I got the one that looks like a little cooler. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yes. Oh, yes. Do I intimately know popcorn vessels?
You know.
Yes, I do. Yes, unfortunately, I do.
And then the last perk, little freebie perk that you get is a gift. You do get a free gift. One thing that I want to specify in large exclamation points is that there are a couple locations that you can get your freebie, but the options, no one tells you this, there is one extra option at Tokyo DisneySea that is a Duffy item. So a lot of people on their day one, right? Their day one is you're only at Disneyland, and at Disneyland, they don't have any Duffy items there. People were running to go and get their free gift just to get that over with. And I was like, no, wait, like literally wait. There is a Duffy item over at DisneySea, and it's only available there, and you'll have to get it on your day two or day three. So I waited to get mine, and it is what it was for me was it was a 20th anniversary Duffy like purse, like little, it was so cute. And it was not available on the shelves at all. It was only available for vacation package members. It didn't say vacation package or anything on it. It was just an extra 20th anniversary Duffy item that is only available to the vacation package members.
Okay, that's pretty rad. I don't know if it's $1,000 rad, but it's pretty rad.
Exactly. It's pretty rad and it felt good, but you know, they are $14. So
yeah. That's girl math. Okay. So I think the big one is approaching, which you uniquely yes. talked about this in a way that I have not heard anyone talk about before, and I was shocked by. Brandon, tell me about your dining experience as part of your vacation package.
Yes. So first thing I want to make clear is that dining is not something you have to have included in your vacation package. It is a add-on, okay? It is an additional charge. So if you do not want to add dining, you can get your vacation package for a little cheaper than I did. My vacation package total was $2,562.92. $2,562.92 for one person for 3 days, two nights with all the things that we're explaining. Now, with this, I got six in-park sit-down dinings included. Okay? Now, six. So it is a lot. So you basically had lunch and dinner every day of your vacation package included. And these are at the fabulous sit-down dining option. So it's the sit-down dinings that have like the three-course meals. I would compare it to basically a Walt Disney World sit-down dining. So when I was booking this, I was like, okay, it's kind of a no-brainer. I'm just going to add it onto my thing. I want to try all these restaurants anyway. It'll be really carefree and I'll basically be able to go in and order what I want, and then walk out. They do not hand you a check. So you've already prepaid for everything. They know your vacation package. You walk in, you have a reservation time, you eat, and you leave. Okay, so one thing that I did not factor in at all was my allergy. I have an allergy. And I know everyone's going to giggle. I have a seafood and shellfish allergy. And yes, I understand that sounds insane to have a seafood and shellfish allergy in Japan. But to be fair, I've been to Japan before and it has never been an issue. It's literally me having a seafood and shellfish allergy, never been an issue in Japan. If I order things the way that I want, I can get whatever I want and be completely clean and clear. But here's the problem with vacation package. When you book dining, vacation package in the vacation package way, you get a prefixed meal that cannot be subbed and cannot be altered or it cannot be changed. So every restaurant has a specific menu that is only for vacation package customers, and you have to eat what they give you. So what happens when you go and they're like, okay, at this restaurant, here are your three courses. Course number one, seafood. Course number two, also seafood. And then you have dessert. What happens? What happens when you're like, I can't eat that? Well, one thing to know about Japan culture in general is that you cannot substitute anything anywhere you go. Like when you go to Japan and you're ordering food, it's just not customary to make changes. So you get what you get and you don't complain, which I already understand that concept. And I'm totally fine with that. But you can't force me to eat something that I'm allergic to. So what now? And really, the what now was the most insane process of my entire trip. Because basically, through the language barriers, we are passing a phone back and forth together. They have to bring all these different managers. It's a whole process. And at some of the restaurants, they basically, the resolution was, well, you're out of luck. This is the seafood item that we have, so you're going to have to skip a course. So you're only going to be able to get one course of the three courses. You're only going to be able to get two courses of the three courses. And I'm like, wait, I prepaid for three courses though. Like I've already paid everything off. it's already done before I even flew to Japan. So what happens? And they're like, well, you prepaid and this is what you're going to get because you can't have anything else. And it was truly the most disheartening part of my entire vacation. I will say that a couple of the restaurants tried so hard to accommodate me, and it just didn't really work out. One thing to know about Tokyo Disney Resort is that if you have any sort of allergy, they have one universal meal that gets shared across the entire resort at every single restaurant, at every single quick service, everywhere. And it's a bowl of curry. And I was, at some point, I was like, okay, just get me the bowl of curry that's literally everywhere. And at the sit-down dining options, they were like, we don't have that one here. That's like at the quick service locations.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So basically, it's when it comes to dining, it was a lose situation for me. I lost so much time because of my allergy. Everything took so much longer. The communication barrier, I was probably at every sit down location for about an hour and 15 minutes, which for their really short park hours in Japan, you can't afford that, especially when you're doing a vacation package that is so expensive. You need to be out in the park. So that was a lose. And then me literally walking out, one of the restaurants, I ate dessert and I walked out. That was literally one of the restaurants because I couldn't eat the starter and I couldn't eat the main.
It was already like not a great experience on its own. But then when you add the fact that you paid for it in advance and you couldn't even eat anything there, such a bummer.
Such a bummer. And it was just one of those things where it was like, wow, I will never do sit-down dining here again. I don't know if it'll be much different if I were to not be vacation package. I was looking at other parts of the menu, and they also seemed very seafood heavy. One of the restaurants, they made an accommodation where they said, okay, like, we're just going to pull whatever food we can from wherever we can to accommodate you. They were so sweet. And that was actually at Blue Bayou at Disneyland, and it ended up working out completely well and totally fine. But the other restaurants were not as accommodating. They were just kind of like we don't have a button for that on the computer, so sorry. It's very much like that. Like, they don't find ways to work around an issue. It's just kind of like everything is strict and it is what it is. And if there's not a button for it, it's not happening.
It's just, we're so used to the parks in America, which I assume you have experienced, have accommodated you very well.
Oh, very well. And I mean, really, having a seafood allergy in America, it means nothing. In fact, there's usually only like one seafood option on the menu anyway. So it's really never even been an issue here. I don't even tell them that I'm allergic to seafood when I go dine at Disney here, because there's no point. They got to bring the chef out. It's a whole ordeal. And I will never have an issue. So that was dining, and it was a lot of money. And I'm not quite sure how much my trip would have cost without it. But I did the math. I would have saved $1,000. I'm sorry.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money on an international trip.
Yeah. So basically what I'm trying to say is that I went ahead and went through all the bullet points of what was included with the vacation package. And I selected out the ones that I found a lot of value in when I did my vacation package. My hotel found a lot of value in. My theme park tickets, obviously. The fast passes, whatever. And I tallied up the prices of those individually, okay, for the 3 days. And it came out to $1,000 cheaper. So that's what happened.
So we did touch on this a bit when we talked about breakfast and Happy 15, but I would love to just kind of analyze the second half of your trip when you were, as you lovingly call it, a theme park peasant. And I'm wondering, were you noticeably more stressed then? Was it more like, were you more anxious because you had to book things, you had to get things done? Like, having done a vacation package and a non-vacation package visit in both ends of the trip, how did you feel on that one comparatively? Because I know there is a bit to the vacation package that you can't put a dollar symbol on, but it is like the promise of relaxation is there.
Sure. So I did feel a lot more stressed. I will say that for sure. And the stress only happens in the morning when you're getting into the park. When you're staying at the Disney neighborhood hotels, like Hotel Okura or Bayside Maihama Hotel, whatever it's called, you do not get Happy 15, Happy Entry. You do not get that. So you have to wait in line with everyone else. And it was a very stressful experience. But, you know, as soon as you get in the park and you get all the priority passes you need, it really is short. And painful, if that makes sense. It's painful and short. Like, it's 15 minutes of stress, and then you're good. The rest of your day, you're completely fine. And I will say that's worth saving $1,000.
to just so, wake up. You are getting paid $1,000 to get up and wait in line. That doesn't sound too bad.
To get up and wait in line. And we're already so used to lines. I will say that the lines over there are brutal. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I will say is that the lines in Japan are physically so much longer than anything you've ever seen in the States. So when you see them with your eyes, it can be so intimidating. You're like, holy moly, there's 3 million people in front of me. How am I ever going to get in the park? But their lines are so efficient.
Yeah.
Like, it is insane. It doesn't matter how many people are in front of you. It's going to move. They are so efficient. Their system works beautifully well. So honestly, like, when you go to the Disneyland Resort or Disney World and you see a long, long line, you're like, oh my God, this is going to be 35 minutes. And then meanwhile, in Japan, you'll see a line that's like quadruple the amount of what you'd find in the States, but it'll probably take half the amount of time. So just take that with a grain of salt when you see a big old crowd of people.
Yeah, there's going to be a long line no matter what. I think I got there 2 hours early and there was already a long line. So it's just, it is what it is. I have a serious admission to make. I am completely over delivery food. It's expensive, it makes my tummy hurt, and it's never good. It's never good enough. It's never what I want it to be. And I get it. I do. Cooking takes a lot of time, and grocery shopping is stressful. But if you think you have to spend big bucks or tons of time in the kitchen to make delicious food at home, you don't, thanks to EveryPlate. Truly, it's like they're delivering home-cooked food to you. Best of both worlds. With EveryPlate, you get restaurant-level deliciousness week after week with recipes like crispy buffalo ranch chicken and cheesy Mexican street corn hash. The portions are huge, they're delicious, and because you don't have to do that dumb thing you usually do where you like buy an onion, just use a quarter of it, and then it rots away in your fridge reminding you of all the money you wasted, they prepackage ingredients, so there's absolutely no waste. You'll spend less on these flavor-packed homemade meals than you would on your normal groceries or even at a restaurant. And you even don't have to park at that cursed grocery store parking lot on Santa Monica and Fairfax. If you live in LA, you know what I'm talking about. It is misery. You won't get bored cooking the same things over and over either, thanks to EveryPlate's constantly rotating weekly recipes that take 30 minutes or less and are delivered right to your door. I love EveryPlate because I'm not a chef. I'm just pushing stuff around on a skillet. But their easy-to-read instructions have me accomplishing things in the kitchen I never thought I could have. And also keep me streamlined between deciding between all of the foods that exist in the world. There are too many options out there. But here with EveryPlate, there are just enough. Never again ask, what's for dinner? Because you're in charge, eating like you're at a restaurant, but you're the chef. So what are you waiting for? Dig into these flavor-packed meals your household will love. New customers can enjoy this special offer of only $1.99 per meal. Go to everyplate.com/podcast and use the code AMUSING199 to get started. Apply the discount on first box limited time only. That's everyplate.com/podcast. Use code AMUSING199. It's time to start bumping those tunes and burning those gingerbread candles because believe it or not, the holidays are right around the corner. And when you start planning your festive Thanksgiving and holiday meals and treats, let me let you in on your secret culinary weapon, frozen Washington red raspberries. They're a simple holiday hack that saves time in the kitchen without sacrificing flavor. No added sugars, no preservatives, just the ultimate shortcut to flavor, picked at peak ripeness and frozen within hours to lock in their bright, sweet tart taste. I'm getting ready to razz up my celebratory creations by planning a little festive mocktail with the little beauties. Because I'll be real with you, I am a last minute girly, and having them on hand in the freezer is clutch for me when it comes to entertaining. When you buy American grown frozen raspberries, you are getting fresh off the field flavor all year round. These berries aren't a byproduct of fresh, they're crafted specifically to be frozen. That means better texture, better taste, and better results in your kitchen. Grown by passionate farmers in Washington State, they're frozen with care to ensure top quality and food safety. Plus, frozen fruit lasts longer, helps cut food waste. If you've seen the bin in my refrigerator, you know what they're talking about, and is always ready when you are. Want to learn more details on where to find American-grown frozen red raspberries, plus recipe ideas and cooking tips? Head to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. Ooh, ZZ is fun to say out loud. You'll find participating retailers like Costco, Kroger, and Meijer, an inspiration for every meal. Plus info on how these berries go from farm to freezer freezer with quality you can taste. And when you're out shopping, look for product of the U.S. on the bag. Or pick up some good stuff made with them, like the Kirkland Signature 3 Berry Blend at Costco, or even Smucker's Peanut Butter and Raspberry Uncrustables, all of which are made with frozen Washington red raspberries. Naturally delicious and always in season? That's the real gift this holiday season.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by CHEV.
We have not talked about the fact that you were low-key a celebrity when you were at Tokyo Disney Resort.
Yeah. I honestly, I don't mean to be that person, but I do feel like this is my effect anywhere I go, just because I feel like I look the craziest. I look insane. My clothes are so kooky and all over the place that people just naturally gravitate towards me. But I was very surprised, you know, in America, like making magic is like a thing. Like anywhere I go, I feel like people, cast members are always going above and beyond to make sure that I have the greatest time ever. And they're always bending the rules a little bit to make sure that I have the greatest day of my entire life. But in Japan, that's really not the case. They don't really make magic. Everything is very strict. All the rules are kind of like in place. So I was so shocked and surprised to see people, cast members, just literally being relentless in making sure that I had anything and everything I've ever needed. I got VIP seating for shows. I was getting stopped all the time and taking photos. And yeah, it was really sweet. It was super,
super so
nice.
Funny because like you didn't ask for anything. Like you were, this is not something that you asked for. It's just like they decided that you were the main character of the day.
They decided that. And
it's very
which,
family
you know,
of the day
makes,
energy. Like you were
very
chosen.
Family of the day energy. And it makes perfect sense to me and it aligns with my fantasy. So I understand completely. It makes perfect sense to me.
What was the best merch item that you got on this trip?
My favorite thing that I got, I'm embarrassed to say, is it was kitchen stuff. They have like a collection of kitchen gadgets where you can make your own food at home look like the food that they sell at Tokyo Disney. And they have like a burger, like a burger where the bun looks like a Mickey glove. And so in the store, they sell a bread, sandwich bread cutter and presser that cuts your sandwich bread to the exact shape and size of the food that they have in the park. And I've been literally using it every single day. They also have a Tokyo Disney specific Mickey waffle iron because their Mickey waffle stamp is a tiny bit different than how it looks in the States. It's like a very Tokyo specific Mickey waffle. And they sell a waffle iron where you can make your own Tokyo Disney Mickey waffles at home. And I've gotten that and I've used it a bunch of times. The kitchen gadgets, love it. Obsessed.
Wow. I didn't even realize they sold that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And only in like two of the stores. There's only like one store on Main Street or World Bazaar where it's like a kitchen store. And I think there's one store in Disney Sea that does it too. So it's not really everywhere.
Wow. What advice would you have as someone who has visited the resort in multiple different ways, has been a few times? What advice would you have for someone flying all the way to Tokyo Disney Resort? It's very easy to get overwhelmed. And there's a lot of tips out there. But for you, I would trust you more than most. What tips would you have for them?
Yes. Well, first, my tip would just be to like relax. And a lot of times in Japan, you'll feel stuck. As in like, oh my gosh, I'm stuck in this line and there's a million people in front of me and there's no way out. And I feel like we are so used to not liking to wait in lines here. And they love to wait in lines there. And I think that I would just take a deep breath and you're here. There's nowhere else to be. Be present. And while you're waiting in line, like look around, get off your phone, look at all the little details, be with people, interact with people, make friends. I made so many friends when I was there. And I really practiced being present when I was there. And it really made such a difference in my trip. I would also recommend not buying a vacation package.
you can't have shrimp, don't even think about adding dine-in.
Oh my God. Oh my God. No, honestly, as far as the vacation package goes, I will never do it again, even without dining. Like, I cannot have the dining included. And even when I remove that entire aspect of my trip, the rest of it, you could just buy it a la carte. You know, Hotel Miracosta is amazing. Happy Entry is amazing. You know, all that stuff is amazing. You can do it a la carte. You don't need the vacation package. They try to make it seem like really, really, they're selling you on, they're taking advantage of the fact that you're going to be stressed. And by selling you a product or service that is like, we'll take your stress away. But I guarantee you the price that they're charging is ridiculous. And it is just not worth it, in my opinion. Just go deal with a little bit of stress for 15 minutes and you'll be fine.
Yeah. And really, when you put that $1,000 mark on it, that could be another night or two at the hotel with tickets so you can spread your trip out and not be rushed because you have more time.
Yeah. I mean, $1,000 can take you so far in Japan. I mean, to give you a gauge, a peak price ticket to go to these theme parks, a peak price ticket is $70. And that is their most expensive ticket. On some of the nights, I paid like $56. I paid $62 on one of the nights. So really, like, $1,000 is a lot of money in Japan. You can use it elsewhere.
Just to put it in reality terms, you spent $22 more than Disneyland parking on a Tokyo Disney ticket.
Oh my God. That is so funny. I haven't thought about it that way.
So, like, this is like $3,000 when you really break it down. It's a lot of money difference.
It's a lot. Yeah. So, wow. Yeah.
What was your, because I know the sit-down restaurants were a little yikes, but you did have a lot of quick service food. What was the best thing that you ate on this trip?
So it's funny, like, a lot of people love the quick service food. A lot of people hate the quick service food. I was somewhere in between. A lot of the places I was like, oh my God, this is like really not good. And a lot of places I was like, oh my God, this is kind of the best thing I've ever had. My favorite quick service meal, and I ate there five times. I ate there five times this trip, was the Casbah Food Court in Disney Sea in the Arabian Coast. It is all curry. So if you don't like curry, then you will not like it. They have many different kinds of curry. They had three different kinds of curry when I went. No, four different kinds of curry. And I tried every single curry dish. It was all incredible. The portion sizing is massive. The price is low. The ambiance is fabulous. It was amazing. And I tried to try all the quick service meals. So I really got around. I ate so much food when I was there. But you know, it all came down to Casbah Food Court. Loved it.
Wow. I don't think I've eaten there.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends actually that it's their favorite too. And that's all that they eat when they go. And I'm like, wow. Okay, great.
Okay. I gotta hit that up on the next one. Did you eat any of the food inside of Fantasy Springs? Is there anything in Fantasy Springs that stood out to you? We haven't even talked about Fantasy Springs. Give me the review. Give me the thoughts.
Fantasy Springs. So as far as food goes in Fantasy Springs, I ate at the Arendelle restaurant, which is so beautifully put together by your dear friend, Rachel.
Correct? Yes. She's been on the podcast for other projects, but not for that one yet, I suppose.
She was telling me about the restaurant, like, very lightly on one of the days that we hung out. And I was like, okay, cool, I'll check it out. Oh, my God. I was like, wow, this is the most beautiful restaurant I've ever.
Yes.
I cannot believe it's quick service. It doesn't make sense that it's quick service. Mm-hmm. It is the most beautiful restaurant ever. So incredible job, Rachel. So I ate there and then I had the snacks. I had the Lost Boys.
Oh,
food,
the cup of stuff.
The cup of random things,
yes.
Which was fun. It very much was like Happy Meal food, I felt, which was whimsical in its own way. And Heather from Dining in Disney, we strongly disagree on this. And also AJ Wolf of Disney Food Blog apparently also disagrees with me. What is it? Is it the beef stew popcorn?
Yes, the roast beef popcorn.
It's incredible. It is my favorite thing ever. I got it three times, and the girls said that it tasted like dog food. So
yeah, that's why I didn't get it.
No, I loved it. I loved it so much. I will say, if you don't like the way that it smells when you walk by, you will not like the taste. Okay. It tastes exactly the way it smells. Like, literally exactly. So walk by it, see if you like the smell, and if you don't, keep walking, and if you do, I would try it.
I'm pretty sure we walked past, and my husband was like, what is that? And it's like, oh, it's okay. It's not, clearly not for us. Clearly not the
popcorn. Beef popcorn.
For us. Yes.
as far as Fantasy Springs goes, just my very, very quick sort of like rundown on it. Fantasy Springs is a like beautiful product. It is a beautiful theme park land that I believe does not belong in Tokyo DisneySea and does not align with any part of DisneySea at all. It's one of those things where it's like they have some impressive attractions, and I think that you should go in there and get them out of the way and get out of there so you can really truly experience what DisneySea has to offer. So you should go in, do them, get them done. Frozen is like the best version of Frozen I've ever been on. Peter Pan is meh and fine. And Rapunzel's beautiful. But, you know, get in there, do it to say that you did it. Go in there to experience what, like, Walt Disney Imagineering is capable of in 2024, 2025, which is a lot. They did such an amazing job. And then I really recommend leaving, getting out, and just doing DisneySea.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, so do you wish it was at Disneyland, or do you just wish it was somewhere else and not there at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it was... It's insane that it's not in Disneyland because it literally is connected to Disneyland. Like, they could have easily connected it to Disneyland. It butts up right up against Beauty and the Beast. So it was, like, baffling to me. I'm like, wait, why didn't we just have this be an expansion of their Fantasyland where you have that gorgeous new Beauty and the Beast land and ride, and then it connects to Arendelle and all these other fantasy sort of land attractions and themes? And yeah, I think, yeah, it just, it feels so different than DisneySea. And it's kind of my same take on Galaxy's Edge, where it feels so different being in there than being at Disneyland. And they did such an amazing job sort of shunning it out of the theme park. Like, if you want to avoid that land, it's so easy to. Like, you don't have to experience Star Wars when you're at Disneyland. You can easily maneuver, loop around the entire park in a whole and complete way and not even touch Star Wars, and it'll be completely fine. Same thing with Fantasy Springs. You can completely loop around DisneySea and not even experience Fantasy Springs. It is so far in the back that it's very easy to avoid if you want to. But I mean, of course, I think everyone should do it at least once.
That's such a brilliant comparison, because it really is. It's that kind of add-on where you're still in the regular park, but then if you want to turn in, you can.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, on two of my days, I was at DisneySea so many days of my trip. Oh my God. But on two of my days, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even go to Fantasy Springs today. Like, did not even step foot in it. That's crazy. And I still had a very whole and complete DisneySea day that was amazing.
Well, I think this is probably the right time to ask this. What is one ride at Tokyo Disney Resort that you would skip and one that you can't miss?
At Tokyo DisneySea, Sinbad, I cannot miss. I literally go on it probably four times a day. One that I can miss, probably Soarin'. And their Soarin' is so beautiful. I'm not trashing it. Like, it's a great Soarin'. It's actually probably the best Soarin' that's existed anywhere. Yep. I would say Tokyo's Soarin' and Shanghai Soarin'. Doing both of them, like, wow, I was so impressed with both of them. But yeah, probably Soarin'. Just, you know.
What are your picks for Tokyo Disneyland?
Tokyo Disneyland, I'm obsessed with the Monsters, Inc. ride there. Why is no one else obsessed with that? Everyone talks about Pooh's Honey Hunt, and I think Pooh's Honey Hunt is incredible, and I love it so much. But the Hide and Boo Seek, or whatever it's called, I can't. I'm literally obsessed. They have a Celia animatronic, a full animatronic, who's sitting in a fountain, and the snakes on her head are moving, and they're squirting out water. Okay, that's going to do it for me. That's going to do it for me every single time. I'm obsessed. I'm in love. So yeah, I love that. And what else? You know, just like all the little things at Disneyland I love as well.
Hey, wait, what did you think of the Beauty and the Beast attraction?
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast I thought was okay. I honestly thought that...
Yes!
I'm sorry!
No, okay. it's like a beauty. It's a beautiful ride. They did an incredible job, but
and it's five rooms.
Yes, I felt very alone in the fact that it didn't hit for me. Like, it just, some people step off that ride, and it happens a lot with a new attraction. Some people step off and they're weeping. Like, it emotionally resonates with them. It just didn't do that for me. And it's a good ride, but it just didn't, I didn't connect to it.
I don't mean to be a nerd. I don't want to, like, be really nerdy. I don't want to talk about, like, the IP as much, because Beauty and the Beast is amazing and whatever. But I think that when you're talking about designing attractions, if you're going to make a six-vehicle dispatch attraction, which is a massive attraction, you dispatching six vehicles into an attraction, and each one of those vehicles being massive, absolutely massive, these massive teacups. For you to accommodate six of those vehicles, okay, in the same room, it means that the room has to be massive and just kind of empty because you need the six vehicles to move around. So it's, you're in these giant warehouse rooms and you can't have many of the rooms because at the end of the day, like, you only have so much space, right? Like, you only have this much space for a Beauty and the Beast ride. So I would have preferred for them to go a different route where they packed a lot more bang for their buck, you know, have a more intimate attraction that has so many different scenes and the scenes are really intimate and you can truly see so many different moments from the film and still have that connection to the IP while creating a really dynamic attraction. Whereas in what they did was they created this insane people eater of a monster of an attraction with six vehicles. And because of the way that that was designed, they couldn't do much with the ride. The entire movie, which is such a beautiful movie, is summed up into basically four rooms. It's technically five rooms. I would say it's four rooms because one of them is a hallway. It's four rooms. And you telling any story in four rooms, it's just not going to read. It has some beautiful show-stopping moments in it. But at the end of the day, as an overall attraction, it's not going to do it for me. And I don't think that it's worth the insane amount of wait time. I think obviously you should do it once. And the queue is insane. Oh my God, the pre-show is incredible. The queue
is beautiful. Everything beautiful, is beautiful, beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the main draw is the fact that you're going to be able to experience Beauty and the Beast to scale. And I think that that is a huge, huge, a very big deal. The castle, Beast Castle, is larger than Sleeping Beauty Castle at Disneyland. Like, it, you could literally see it with your own eyes. So just to give you perspective, everything is to scale. And that matters to me. But an attraction overall, there were some design choices that are absolutely just like, no.
Obviously, I have a lot to praise, but I did feel like a lot of the ride you were looking at other riders on ride vehicles. Like, your sight lines were just, you're looking at other people experiencing the ride instead of being,
oh my God. Kind
of, you know, like, you're instead of being like transported to a place you've seen on screen.
No, I'm laughing because also one thing that I forgot to mention is you're in the rooms for a little too long, like, yes. And nothing's really happening. They're the snow room where there's like the horse and so you're just circling in a big warehouse room and literally nothing is happening. And it's just awkward. It feels so awkward. The pacing feels so awkward and it almost feels like you're getting ready for the next room to be done so you can enter it and they have a longer show moment than you have. So you just enter a room and you're like, okay, like, I'm good. Let's move on.
There are some, I just want to say, I'm not fully dragging it. There are some incredible moments. I'm not going to say what they are in case you are trying to go in without knowing anything.
Sure.
But if you know the story of Beauty and the Beast, there are a few pivotal moments. And I do think they captured those brilliantly. I think the end of the ride is fantastic. But I do think the journey to getting there could be better.
There is a show moment that I won't say specifically that I think everyone is losing their mind over. But for us girlies that have already been to Shanghai and went to Shanghai literally 5+ years ago, and that exact show moment exists in their Pirates attraction, were you gagged to see that?
I felt like I was supposed to be gagged, and yet there was no gaggage.
There was no gaggage. And I think that, and I want to say that we're coming from a place of like, we've already obviously done Shanghai. I think you've done it multiple times. You've been to Shanghai a couple times?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, so if you've never been to Shanghai before, then yes, it is definitely a really cool moment. If you've already been to China, it's what they've been doing it for like years now. So
yeah, I think for me, the best moment of the ride, and I think I can lightly spoil this because we know the story. Yeah. There is a moment in a ballroom, and I think that to me, that kind of took me out because I was like, oh, I feel like, yes, I'm in a movie right now. Like that, I like, yes, to feel like I'm in it instead of watching it. So that to me, that was the most beautiful scene and worth it to me. But yeah, we go to these parks a lot. I just think this wasn't one that resonated with me, but I'm right there with you where I'm like, get me in Sinbad, like get me butt in seat for Sinbad. We just have different priorities. And the scale on Sinbad is one of my favorite things about it. So
it is insane.
Different perspectives. It's totally okay. Yeah. I would love to ask you our lightning link, mm-hmm, questions, just a rapid series, yes, of things of your favorite.
Yeah. Because
you have impeccable taste. Except for this roast beef popcorn. Except for popcorn. What is your favorite character costume?
Oh my gosh!
Or the best ever, like the best ever meet and greet in a certain look that you've ever seen.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! I wish I prepared for this.
It's okay. It could just be a favorite. It doesn't have to be like. For example, I love Goofy in a tux. I love Goofy in a tux.
Oh, he's so handsome when he takes the hat off. I'm like, honey, leave the hat off. During the 60th, when they refused to put the hat on him, I was like, thank you. Please. Honestly, I will say that one of my favorites, and I don't even like Donald. He's like not even one of my favorite characters at all. But back in the day, his old Halloween costume, when he was like a chunky little pumpkin and he would waddle around.
Yes.
One of my favorite. I'm like, bring that back, please.
Oh, bring that back. That was so good. Do you think the character breakfast we're going to go to is going to top all of these?
It might, because Clarabelle, that dress looks fabulous. And teal is like one of my favorite colors. So I need to meet, everyone keeps calling him like ghost of whatever past Goofy. No, it's teal Goofy.
So we're going to Storyteller's Cafe at Disney's Grand California Hotel. They have a special seasonal brunch. They have so much. I'm looking at like five different seasonal things. They have one that's like from mid-November to January that's Daisy's Pajama Party. I didn't even know about that. Okay, we are going.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Well, we can go if you want to go for breakfast before we go to our dinner brunch. We can do it. We are going to Mickey's Christmas Carol Feast. It's November 17th through January 6th. We got reservations aggressively early, but they're open to everyone. It's Mickey Mouse, Scrooge McDuck. Oh, and this only says beloved Disney friends. The girlies better be there. It's Clarabelle Goofy.
I'm going to need the dolls.
Then, yeah. Who's the other one? Clarabelle Goofy.
Minnie.
And Minnie, yes. Yeah.
Minnie in her like little colonial outfit. It's not colonial. What is she?
Oh, the costumes are so. Oh, no, it's.
It's giving Liberty Square.
Yeah, it is. It's giving like women of the revolution.
Well, yes. Oh my God.
Mickey's in like the cutest little outfit. We got Clarabelle.
I love him.
Oh!
I'm going to be so insufferable that day. I cannot wait.
That's why we're going together.
Well, yes.
Ugh, I cannot wait. That's going to be my answer in the future. Okay. What is your Disney Parks white whale? What is the one thing that you've never gotten to do that you want to do? Existing, or if you can't think of anything off the top of your head, I'll take a vintage choice.
Ooh. Yeah. So this is actually a great question. There is an attraction at Disneyland, my home park, that I have never done. And will never do. I will never do it. I keep going back and forth on whether I will do it or not. I have this thing in my brain where I truly feel like if I do every single thing that there is to offer, then the park will be dead to me.
So I have this fear.
I have this fear. And there is an attraction that I've always wanted to do. And it's like for my forbidden fruit. I have never, ever, ever done the double-decker omnibus. Ever.
Oh my, that's the last one?
It's the last one. I think that there is, I haven't done the horse-drawn carriage. That is also one that I've been avoiding. Yeah, so there's like little things in Disneyland that I'm purposely not doing them, and I don't think I ever will. As far as like going back in the past, I mean, you know, there's so many things at Epcot. Like I would have loved to do Horizons, and I would have loved to do World of Motion and you know, all that stuff. But yeah, Disneyland, that's my, is it white elephant or white horse? What is it?
White whale.
White whale.
Yeah.
Girl, I have Christmas on my brain right now. I know.
I'm just thinking about our brunch or our dinner. What is your favorite Epcot pavilion?
Oh my goodness. Land pavilion is my favorite pavilion.
Oh my God. I'm thinking World Showcase. Oh
no.
Blew
World
me
Showcase
away.
Is my least favorite. World I Showcase
was, like,
is
countries.
My,
you went no. straight to land.
No. The land pavilion is my favorite. After that, I probably will say, I don't know. Imagination is like, I really like Imagination, but like the current state is like, meh. I do. The Seas is nice. Yeah. World Showcase is like, honestly, I love it, of course, but I'm a Future World girly. Mm-hmm. I am Future World through and through. Like when I would go to Epcot as a kid, I only wanted to do Future World, and I was like, everyone else, go into the countries and let me know when you're back, because I'm not going over there. So yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I expected anything different. Okay, big question. Duffy and Friends or Mickey and Friends?
Duffy and Friends. Lena Bell.
Lena Bell.
Lena Bell's my number one.
I mean, you yes. and my child.
Yeah, both of us.
Oh my God. She loved that puppet you got her. She's obsessed with it.
Oh God. I love it.
What is the most secret space within Disney parks that you've been to?
Well, I worked there for literally years, so I've been to a lot of secret spaces. My favorite backstage area of Disneyland is the tunnel that connects the costuming backstage behind Tomorrowland over to the Matterhorn. And there's an underground tunnel, and if you have ever thought, how do the performers get on the stage at Tomorrowland Terrace, like the stage that sinks into the floor? It's through that tunnel. And it is this all-encompassing tunnel that is so fun because it in Disneyland, we don't really have tunnels, and it's our only one tunnel that we have there, but every single department uses it. It was always a really quiet place that I loved spending time in, and if you were to ever, I worked in Fantasyland when I worked there, it was a beautiful shortcut to get backstage to the middle of the park without having to deal with the crowd, so it was like my main tunnel of transportation to get to and from my location, which of course, if you're listening to this and you're like a Walt Disney World cast member, I know you're probably like, okay, great, whatever. We have a lot of those. We don't have any of those. Mm-mm. We have to walk out in the park in our costume to our location. It is not fun. So yeah, love that tunnel.
Ooh, perfect. Space Mountain, Disneyland, or Disney World?
World, 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 world.
Thank you. All the way.
It's by a landslide. It's not even close. It's not even something that I have to think about. I love it. I love the vibes. I love the vehicle. I love the track layout. I love the sounds. I love the people movers inside of there. I love the way that the facade looks. I love the way that the queue looks. I love the 9-mile walk from the unload to the exit.
But I mean, you get to see the robot butler, so it's worth it.
Yeah, so that's perfect.
And last question, which is a bit loaded because I know you could answer this many, many different ways.
Oh, God.
What is the best theme park gossip you've ever heard?
What is the best theme park gossip I've ever heard?
That you is feel comfortable sharing publicly.
Is it gossip if it's a fact?
No, it counts.
Okay. Like Mariah Carey would come to the park all the time in heels, in a pump, like in heels. And it is like my favorite thing on planet Earth. Like, I just love someone who can commit to the bit and it just does not veer. Mm. And it's so fabulous.
If you're going to be a diva, you got to be a diva all the way through.
All the way through. Because one thing about me is like, and you know this too, like we're very much like, okay, like we veer off to the right or left. If like, depending on where we are, I'm like, cool, I need to be comfortable.
Yes. We're either dialing up or dialing down.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Wow. Just in a pump, just trotting around?
Boarding Space Mountain, getting in the vehicle, which she loves, by the way, and she would, you know, she'd be like, run it back! In heels. You guys, come on.
The way in which I've always liked her. I've never disliked her. My respect for her just tripled.
Yeah, I don't care who she is or how she is or how, you know, diva, like, she deserves it. You're in Disneyland in a pump riding Space Mountain. You're spending the entire day in heels.
Oh, so, yeah. Incredible. Brandon, thank you so much for coming on Very Amusing. This is so much fun.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. Literally, it's so surreal being on one of my favorite podcasts. It's like, this is what I listen to when I'm folding my laundry every single week. And now I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to like listen to my own voice. Crazy.
I'm so charmed. And me being like, whenever you post a bunch of Instagram stories, me being like, my show is on. I gotta sit and watch.
You lock in. You and Mom, you both lock in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, if any of you think that you're obsessed with my mom, Brandon takes the cake.
Yeah, sorry. That's my girl.
Okay, I think you have to say what happened with your friend about my mom. You have to say it on mic.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so obviously, I have all these different friends who like my friends, you know, don't necessarily like commingle with each other. So they all know each other through me, right? They all know my friends as like imaginary characters. And I forget what was happening, but they basically were like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm with Carly. And they were like, oh, your friend's daughter, referring to Carly's mom. So they viewed Carly's mom as my friend. And they're like, oh, are you hanging out with your friend's daughter? It was so funny. It was hilarious.
My mom hilarious. Loved it. I was perturbed, but I understand. There's enough Audrey to go around. It's fine. It's fine. It's totally
love her.
Fine. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. This was a blast. Tell me more of what you got for deals, deals, deals.
Well, of course, DCL, Disney Cruise Line, is still offering their 50% off their deposit that's due at time of booking. So that's a really good one if you're kind of strapped for cash right now, but you really want to get a good gift for your family. You can get 50% off the deposit. And that's for cruises between March 2026 and even into May 27th. So you got a little bit there. If you're perfect vacation includes a pineapple and an umbrella. Then you got something at Alani because they are having their 25% off stays up to 5 nights or longer. And that is for most nights, January 4th all the way to April 9th.
Ooh.
So another great idea to go and hang out with your family in a wonderful location. Now, remember when I was saying those Black Friday sales?
Yeah.
Here's one really quick. It's coming up right now. You can book by December 8th. And this is actually Celebrity Cruise Lines. You can save up to 75% off the second guest, believe it or not, or 50% off their second guest for the refundable fares, and the non-refundable fares are 75. So guess what, too? Free third, fourth, and fifth guest on their Black Friday sale.
Oh, everybody's coming.
I know. And imagine this. This is just one supplier, and they're now just starting to roll out these Black Friday sales, so keep your eye on them. Last but not least, we have an exclusive offer for Royal Caribbean. Up to $100 onboard credit for staterooms that are booked by 12/8, by December 8th of this year. And that is valid on sailings that are all through 2026.
Oh my gosh.
I know. You can cruise, you can go to Alani, you can sip on a pineapple, you can have a great time in Walt Disney World, all at discounted rates.
Wow, Becky, thank you so much for blessing us with these discounts. And I can't wait to hear what's ahead if this is what we got now.
I know. Again, watch those Black Friday sales because that's going to be a key.
I love you, MEI Mouse Fan Travel.
Back at you.
Hey, Carly. Jess from Portland, Oregon here. I listened to last week's pod about your spur of the moment trip and wanted to call out that, at least on Apple Music, I don't know about other music streaming platforms, but the new Country Bears musical Jamboree soundtrack is in Apple Music, including their version of Try Everything. So, if you want to brainwash Pearl into loving the Country Bears, it's at your fingertips. So, do what you will with that information. My three-year-old is a new Country Bear musical Jamboree fanatic because we found the soundtrack before our Disney World trip and made a point to go see it twice. But yeah, enjoy and happy listening. Thanks for all you do. Bye.
Thank you for this call on so many levels. One level being that, oh my gosh, so the Country Bear musical Jamboree soundtrack, which I've talked about, I loved the show. It was so good. I don't know what kept me so long from seeing it. I just was like, oh, I'll get it there. Cause there's nothing, you know, there's no lightning lane. You don't have to worry about it. You can just kind of walk up whenever the show is happening. And it just, I never prioritized it enough and should have. But again, on one level, like now I can listen to new fun versions of the songs that we play on repeat in the car all the time. Do you know that I spent, I think it was 70 minutes in the car in one day last week listening to that song from Tangled? Not See the Light. Oh my God, why aren't words working? I keep thinking Kiss the Girl because that's what I'm looking at in the Country Bear soundtrack. When Will My Life Begin? Whoo, still got it. I listened to that song over and over and over. And while it did kind of hold up, 70 minutes in one day, I'm not joking. Multiple car rides, Pearl just kept saying again, again, again. If you have kids, you get it. Not only am I like so stoked to have her listen to all the other versions of songs that she's heard before, like you've got a friend in me, fixer upper. Ah, I cannot wait for that. But on another level, for anyone who just themselves is like, eh, I guess I'll get around to listening to it. Let me tell you, I have to clean off my office desk. It is a bad situation right now. That's all I'm going to say. There is very little space. My elbow is currently like on my wallet and I am hunched over. I have a large desk. It's just full of things that I have to do. And so I'm like, okay, I got to clean it off. I got to clean off the holiday gifts that I bought. I got to clean off like my cameras, my stuff. Everything is everywhere. But I was like, all right, let's tuck it. Let's put on this music. And here's what I heard. Okay. Here's what I heard. I was like, oh, I gotta do work. Here's what I heard. Okay. And this is the first song in the track. This is the Country Bear musical Jamboree song. Like, is this not? Ooh. Like, what a vibe. Ooh. My brain is in a theme park. I'm cleaning, but ooh, I'm having a party alone. I'm having a hoedown. And that is the energy that I want from you. Again, that's the other level. I want you to be able to enjoy the things you do because your brain is in a themed space. This is like my new version of listening to the Main Street USA music loop. Like, ooh. Yeehaw. Okay, I'm going to go clean because now I'm inspired. But thank you so much for telling me about this. And also, again, not to be like, I just saw it and you need to see it too, but it took me a year to see Country Bear Musical Jamboree, and you gotta get there. It's so good. I truly can't believe how good it is. Okay, that's what the other part of this podcast was for. But yeah, check it out. Okay, thank you so much for your call. Wow. Oh, I can't wait. Okay, thank you. Bye. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening. And thank you to my dear friend, Brandon, for coming on the podcast to yap about Tokyo Disney Resort in Japan. Truly, this is a dream. This is not work. To talk to Brandon and to just giggle about theme parks is the best part of my job, and I'm so glad that I could just share all that is special about him with all of you. Now, if you want more Brandon in your life, and I bet you do after this episode, you can find Brandon online on his own Instagram. Why did I phrase it like I'm a cavewoman? Head to With Nene on Instagram. I'll put all of these links in the show notes. I definitely recommend following Brandon. Just because I'm like on his feed right now, and like I've been at like half these photos I'm looking at, I'm like in the background, like I'm in these places, and it's just like this feed is stunning, like every fit is a slay. Okay, I can't recommend it enough. Definitely follow With Nene on Instagram, and also check out Brandon on both of his podcasts. He has his own, which he hosts, called Gooping and Gagging with Nene. I have been a guest on it, and it was a dream. And you can also find Brandon, and this is a lot of words, you can find Brandon on the Park Stop Podcasts, Park Stop Park Talk. That is a special series podcast, Park Stop Park Talk, with Alicia and Nene, our dear friend Alicia Stella. It's within that feed of hers. You'll see it. It has a different icon, but it's in the Park Stop podcast feed, which I also recommend, but especially the episodes with Alicia and Brandon when they're like having these long discussions about Epic Universe. Like, these are two people who know theme parks inside and out. And I truly, I'm just like, okay, let's tuck in for the length of a movie. And it is so much more delightful than even cinema. So definitely, definitely check that out. Again, I will have the link to it, but it's the Park Stop podcast. That's Alicia's podcast. And then the Park Stop Park Talk one, which is Alicia and Nene. And if you want more podcasts, hello, we are here. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow and comment about us on Spotify. You can also give us a call at 747-CHURROS. Love to hear your call. Call me about like the tiniest thing you can think of, truly. I know I said this last week, but like, I think sometimes people get intimidated. Like, and for a show I listen to that people call in about, I'm like, oh, if I call in, it has to be like huge. It has to be like a big deal. No, call in and be like, do you like this restaurant? Just ask me your mundane questions, because there's more to the story, I guarantee, to those like kind of basic, straightforward, like, should I stay at Art of Animation or should I stay here? Like, give me them. Give me your trip plan questions. The little ones, I love them. I love a big mystery. I love really taking a bite out of something big. But still, I welcome all sorts of questions. I know picking up the phone is so awkward these days. And so I just want to make this a safe space for you. And again, if you have to call in a bunch of times before you get it right, I only listen to the newest one. So don't even worry about it. If you are planning a trip, please reach out to MEI Mouse Fan Travel. They plan my travel. They work for free. Travel agents are just little angels from travel planning heaven. They will try to save you money. They will make your life easier. They will be like, oh, if you move to like this one date, if your dates are flexible, you'll save X amount of money. Like, truly, they will look into rates for you. They will look into anything for cruises, for Universal, for Disney, for everything. I can't recommend working with them enough. That is why I work with them, because I've only had great experiences. I adore Becky. That's why Becky's on the podcast. I adore Becky. And I trust that they will help plan your trips, and they will just be an asset to you for absolutely $0. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing, and thank you for doing that, because we work together. They help make the podcast possible, and truly, I love them. I love them so much. They are making Amusapalooza happen. We would be meeting up at a mall, and I would be 45 minutes late if it wasn't for them handling all of the logistics and everything. So I love them. Thank you, MEI Mouse Fan Travel. You're the real ones. Follow me at Carly Wiesel throughout the internet, and join the FOMALY, my Facebook group. Well, it's really our Facebook group. I really don't claim much ownership. At Facebook group, not Facebookgroup.com, Facebook.com/groups/CarlyWiesel. Subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. You're going to get 99 cents worth of something on there. I'm posting a lot. I hope you enjoy. It's really fun. It's really fun to have like a secret little place to leave secret little clubhouse messages to my secret little friends. So I highly recommend it. It is a good time. It's a good time. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hey, Hey, sweetie. I just love this very amusing pace. It felt like an episode of Gilmore Girls. I loved it. So I'm going to try to keep it going and go fast because I have a lot to say. Oh, my God. I also put in green olives and pickles in my tuna salad and in the big salad. And I also add in jardinera. It is so good in tuna. We are the same. I'm sorry to say. So excited you are learning Mahjong. There's an app that you can play online against the game or set it for practice, and the game will show you what to do. I learned last year with a bunch of girls. It's so much fun. We bring snacks. We talk. We have the best time. We all play together. And you and I can play together too, honey. That'd be fun. I loved your costumes for Halloween. So cute. Pearl is Cinderella with her hair up, and her Cinderella dress makes me excited for Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo Boutique. I am planning on spending a big nest egg for Pearl's glorious birthday. I cannot wait to go with you there. I told you that the barrel jeans that we bought at Zara were so different, so cool, so fun. You need to shop with me more. I'm brutally honest, and I'll make you buy what I know looks good on you. 8 years in designers at Saks Fifth Avenue. Trust me on this one. And I also am a self-proclaimed makeup expert because I own every product that was ever made. So I'm very good at telling you what you need and all that. I love your friends, Stephanie and Alex, and seeing them on TV is so much fun to watch. Stephanie on Loot is great. Stephanie on the Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm Disney special blew me away. So she was so good. And I was eating at a restaurant, and I saw Alex on a commercial. She's also on St. Dennis Medical. But I saw on the commercial, and I screamed and ran up to the owner. I said, play it back. I got to tape this. It was so fun. So fun. Your friends are beautiful, talented, sweet. I love them. And the book that I'm reading, that I'm bringing on my next trip, is written by the delightful A.J. Wolfe, who I adore. And the book is The Disney Adult, and I'm obsessed with her. I'm obsessed with the book. And yes, Pearl does have FOMO just like us. Fear of missing out. She is such a precious cutie pie. I love her so much. In your defense, you get me the greatest gifts on earth. I can't believe what you get me. And it's always, always the best out of anything. And remember, you did say you're going in big. I love that about you. And by the way, my birthday's in 2 weeks. Just saying. I just had to throw that in there. I love you so much. I love these gab sessions. I could do this every week. I love this. I love you, Pearl. Out of line. I love you, Pearl. I love you, Carly. I got to reverse that. I love you, Carly, and I love you, Pearl. Bye.